The Web's Michael Smith. It's episode 125 of the Canes Cast. And you know what?
What's that?
It truly belongs to the moms.
Oh, it was great having the moms on the road here in Raleigh for Sunday's game. And then cheering their sons on to victory in Nashville. One of the most complete games that I think we've seen the Carolina Hurricanes play in the 2019-2020 season.
Now, I would say it was their most complete game, Michael, the way they played. But I think the big reason why, as it was almost to a man, you don't want to disappoint mom.
Yeah, as Justin Williams said, dad just gets angry, mom gets disappointed.
Exactly.
You don't want to disappoint mom.
Yeah, nobody wants to disappoint their mom.
And you would disappoint your mom if you didn't drink Storm Brew, which is the official Canes beer, a crisp light lager made by our friends at R&D Brewing right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, at just 97 calories and 2.4 carbs per serving. It's the perfect brew for all occasions, especially Canes home games, where a 16-ounce can is just $5. Taste the storm at your local tap room. And most major retailers with new store locations being added daily. And hey,
it's crispy.
It is crispy.
It is crispy.
If you've seen those Jordan Martinook pop-ups around town, hashtag that Storm Brew selfie and win some cool prizes. Tag R&D Brewing and 99.9 The Fan on Instagram, and you have a chance to win 6 VIP suite tickets, an Olympia ride, a postgame meet and greet with Jordan himself on March 31st. Hashtag Storm Brew selfie. We have one in our office, and I've sent you a few Storm Brew selfies.
Yes, you have. They make me laugh every time.
Yeah.
So,
but I haven't entered the contest. I don't think I can win.
Can we have Jordan Martinook take a Storm Brew selfie with Jordan Martinook, and would that win?
Maybe.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're breaking down the fourth wall there.
That's a selfie Inception.
Exactly. Yeah. I know you're a big fan of the movie Inception. So
big fan. It was big fun. Fan of a lot of Christopher Nolan movies.
It was a fine movie.
Oh, just fine?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was a little too long.
Well,
for the same thing to keep going over. Then I'm like, are we okay? It's up to me to determine if we're still in a dream or it's okay, fine.
Okay.
That's why it's fine. It was good. The acting was superb.
We might have to break this down later.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was great.
Yeah. We don't want to lose Bill Bernstein already.
Oh, I know.
This is Bill Bernstein coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
So.
Yeah. He's still here.
Hi, Bill. We're going to start talking hockey right now.
Yep. Let's get right to it.
Okay.
Break it down.
Three games since we last came to you a week ago. Apologies, by the way. I think we said we'd record a new episode on Monday, but it was kind of a busy day with travel, and we got a couple of moms to join the podcast. You'll be hearing from Alyssa Pesci and Denise Williams here on this episode, episode 125 of Canes Cast.
Yes, no Zambonis in sight either when we recorded that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Should have been a harbinger for what my night was going to be.
You've had a couple close calls with Zambonis.
Yeah, I have. First one was with you, first game ever. And then last night, where Alyssa Pesci and Denise Williams were in the way of the Zamboni driver in Nashville.
Or he was in the way of the television show.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
You know, they put me in those spots. There's really, I don't have any say on where I go.
Right.
And so, you know, you have people like, and we're going to do this. I'm like, you realize we don't have a lot of room down there. Oh, it'll be fine. No, it's not.
Tight quarters.
Yeah.
But these interviews happened before the Canes moms Monday. Departed for Nashville and what was a fun trip.
It was.
But before the moms got to town, or at least before most of the moms got to town, the Hurricanes hosted the New Jersey Devils in their first game back in town since that four-game road trip that had some people concerned.
Yeah. Are you going to say rightly so or no?
To an extent, rightfully so, because there were some concerning trends, like not being able to score the first goal, didn't really seem to have that killer instinct or that ability in a couple of those games to really dig deep and find maybe that next level.
The concerning thing to me wasn't that they were giving up the first goal, because I think we've chronicled that. And you can play well and still give up the first goal. I mean, you just can.
Yep.
But we've also talked about how, and it doesn't make sense, especially if a goal is scored in the first period. But in the NHL, if you score first, it seems like you win the game. What is it, 85% of the time now? It's a ridiculous number.
Yeah, the Hurricanes are 24-3-2.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're above 90% when you do that. So it shouldn't make sense that the first goal is as important as it is, but it's the facts. I can't argue with, and I don't like arguing math.
It's science.
It is science. But they didn't play solid hockey on those four road trips. That was the concerning thing. But if you don't play your best hockey and still find a way to get wins against teams like Arizona and Vegas, who are good hockey teams, that tells me you've got something there. You can overcome your poor play. And by the time they got to Dallas, it was just time to get off the road. Yeah. That's what that is, yeah. Especially after. And there was no Vegas flu or anything like that. It was just time to get off the road against a pretty desperate Dallas team that needed to play that way. And fast forward for the Canes to what we saw the other night in Nashville, those were two desperate teams, and the Canes looked like how the Dallas Stars looked against the Canes. So it's getting to that game. But coming back, as we say, we now really rewind. I'm turning this into Inception. Where are we? What game? What date? Is the top spinning? I don't know.
It stopped spinning eventually.
Okay. And
that's my read on it.
Thank you. And it started with Nino Niederreiter scoring a goal against the New Jersey Devils to get the Canes going. A blast from the blue line.
Yeah, with a net front by Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, that beats Louis Domingue, and Carolina Hurricanes get a goal. New Jersey answers, and then the Canes, they come right back with Warren Fogle, and they've got a 2-1 lead after the first period and kind of settled everything down.
Yeah, the it was a big goal for Nino Niederreiter because he had been pressing, and the Hurricanes need him on the score sheet in order for their offense to really get going. And it was a big goal for the team to snap that streak of six straight games in which they didn't score first. Just being able to play with a lead changes the game a bit because the Hurricanes don't have to open up their game as much. And Rod Brind'Amour's talked about this, saying that the Hurricanes probably play more on the edge than your average NHL team to begin with. But then when you're having to chase the game, you're having to open it up and play even more on the edge. So the fact that Nino Niederreiter was able to get the Hurricanes on the board early with, as you said, a blast from the blue line, and then Warren Fogle was able to restore the Hurricanes one goal lead before the end of the first period, that just allows the team to settle in front of the sellout crowd here at PNC Arena and play their game.
Yeah.
And in the first game back, after you've been gone for a while, a game like that is almost exactly what you're looking for in terms of the Hurricanes kind of got back to playing their game. They kind of rediscovered their identity here at home and were able to do the things that make them successful as a hockey club. I thought Peter Mrazek had a solid game that night. You saw that top line again of Andrei Svechnikov, Sebastian Aho, and Teuvo Teräväinen hook up for a beautiful goal, a tic-tac goal, as John Forslund said.
Can you give me Will Ferrell right now?
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
That's the best line in hockey. Right now, this second. Offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to say the best. If we're going to say the best line in hockey, I do think resides in Boston.
Yeah.
With Patrice Bergeron, David Pastrnak, and Brad Marchand, whatever he wants to go by, I don't really care. It's, to me, that is the best line. That's a complete line. But the way that this Canes line is playing right now, right this second, if we took a poll, what's the most dangerous line or what's the best offensive line? I should have thrown offensive in when I asked it. I think it's the SAT line.
And it was incredibly dominant that night, too.
Mm-hmm.
In the first period, I don't think they allowed a 5-on-5 chance, that trio. And that's a trio.
You can't allow chances if the other team doesn't have the puck.
Exactly. They just controlled play. And then they get on the score sheet in the second period with that beautiful play. I mean, ever since they were put together in that second period in Arizona, they've been dynamite. There's really not been a game that you can point to where they didn't factor in some way or another. And when you have that sort of line driving your offense, it's tough to handle. And you've got Teuvo Teräväinen, who Rod Brind'Amour calls, you know, one of the best forwards in the game of hockey, doesn't get recognized at large for just how good he is defensively and the plays that he can make offensively. You've got Andrei Svechnikov in his sophomore year who is just, you can just see what kind of star he's going to be in the NHL. And you have Sebastian Aho, who I believe is fourth in the league in goals now. And this after he only scored a handful of goals in, you know, his first, I don't know, handful of games. He really didn't start scoring. He really didn't start scoring until November, as has been the case. And now he ranks fourth in the league in scoring. Yeah, and that's,
you know what, to get going, sometimes a handful is all you need. And he's a notorious slow starter too. I know that he had the fast start last season, but he's got 34 goals right now. No reason to think that he is not going to eclipse 40.
Auston Matthews, David Pastrnak, Alex Ovechkin.
Only three men who have more goals right now?
Those are the three.
Wow.
In the entire NHL.
Well, the other thing I like about Sebastian Aho's game, though, is you look at that line, he is driving the line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got two other players who can drive the play if they need to. And when you hear that term, it's just real simple. It's they carry the play to the opposition, and they get the puck where it needs to go. And the best part about that line is I think how complete it's becoming.
Yeah,
because you have the playmaker in Teravainen with the passing. You have the just absolute bull in Andrei Svechnikov who can go wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And then Sebastian Aho is just a goal scorer. He's a supremely skilled player, but he's getting better in other aspects of the ice. He's getting better in his own zone. He's getting better in the faceoff circle. And if he just keeps improving, no reason to think that line won't continue to stay here.
Yeah. Aho is riding a 10-game point streak,
yep.
And Andrei Svechnikov is riding an 8-game point streak. Those two, big factors on the score sheet each and every night for the Carolina Hurricanes, and really sort of powering this offense as it stands right now, which is good to see. And so then the Hurricanes come back against the Edmonton Oilers on Sunday. Edmonton, a team that, without Connor McDavid, is still pretty good.
And they didn't have Zach Cassian, and they didn't have James Neal. You want me to be real?
Okay, be real.
You want me to be real?
Be real, real.
That's a game at home if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Oilers come in that shorthanded. Even though the Canes battle back and get a point, send it to overtime, and have maybe the most entertaining overtime you can have without winning.
I love 3-on-3 overtime.
That game needed to be a win because of what Edmonton was coming in without.
Yeah.
And look, the best part is you then go, oh, well, what's going to happen in Nashville? Well, the Canes going to get a win in Nashville. So
right.
That offsets it. The fact that they got a point, and we can, you know, however you want to spin things, the Canes now have points in three straight games.
Yep.
And it's what you got to do. You got to keep accumulating it. But that was a game to me where, man, and the Canes didn't play poor. You know, I thought they started on time. All the cliches.
12 seconds in.
Yeah. Hard to start better than that, folks, right? They get the first goal of the game, two games in a row. Party time.
Only two people have scored faster goals to start a game in franchise history.
Kevin Dineen.
And?
Our good friend Shane Willis.
Indeed.
And Shane Willis still is the record holder for that. 9 seconds in.
Yep.
He is up at the tournament in Quebec with the Junior Hurricanes. We wish you nothing but the best, mon ami. So hopefully everything is good for Shane Willis. But
hopefully the poutine tastes good too.
Oh, it always does. It started on time. They did what they, I would say, needed to do to force play. But as Michael Smith just pointed out, Edmonton Oilers are still pretty good without Connor McDavid because they have a guy named Leon Draisaitl who I think we all take for granted. He was phenomenal in that game.
He's also got 34 goals this year.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the Oilers would be better with Connor McDavid. Be foolish to say they're not, you know, they're better than they are without
they're
one of the best players
without,
in the team.
They're not as bad without Connor McDavid than I think we thought because they have Leon Draisaitl.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me right now a little bit of what Pittsburgh has when you don't have Crosby or you don't have Malkin. If one of those guys is in the lineup, they're still good enough to be a major impact or perhaps take over a game.
Pittsburgh, by the way, now first place in the Metropolitan Division.
Insane.
That's wild.
Insane.
They, yeah. The Caps have been slipping lately. I think a little too much focus is being put on
the pursuit of 700.
Yeah. But to the fact that Pittsburgh has done what they've been able to do this year with injuries to two of their best players, their two best players, we'll call it, is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, Mike Sullivan should be the coach of the year if Pittsburgh wins the division, just as an aside. But let's go back to that Edmonton game for a second.
Yeah.
You disagree with what I just brought out there because of what the Oilers came in with and you're at home?
Yeah, I mean, to a point, but you still get you get the point and you give the extra point away to a team in the Western Conference. So I guess...
And I know that I'm going to fall into the trap that I get mad that people fall into the trap over. If that game happens in November, okay. But the fact that it happens in February, the Metro Division is insane. Nobody loses. Every point seems to be so important that that's the one where I'm like, if you lose to the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning like that, I think I can shrug that one off.
Yeah.
A little bit easier than...
That still might be the Pacific Division winners, though.
Oh, I know. I know. It's just, like I'm saying, if I told you that the Oilers were coming to town and they wouldn't have Connor McDavid, they wouldn't have their big power forward, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have another guy who's a power play and I think a Canes killer in his career in James Neal, that those three guys are out of the lineup. Basically, an entire line is not playing. You'd like the Canes' chances to win.
Yeah. So, and they have some guy named Mike Smith in that. What a silly name that is.
That's a great name. Greatness surrounds that name.
But the game changed in the second period yep. when they got the power play goal on a strange bounce. You know, it was a shot that hit the post and then ricocheted out, but then bounced in off the back of James Reimer. And then the Hurricanes couldn't clear the zone shortly after that. Josh Archibald, scores his first of two in the game, obviously his second coming in overtime to give that extra point to the Oilers. But that's sort of where the game shifted because the Hurricanes were, I won't say firmly in control, but
they were in control of the game.
Yeah.
It was their game to lose.
It wasn't as much in control as I thought they were in Nashville.
Yeah.
They had a firmer grip on that game in Nashville, even when Nashville scored.
Yep.
Not so much against Edmonton, but still you felt the game shift there when Edmonton got those couple of goals in the second period.
And by the way, make no mistake, I'm not sitting here going, the Canes played a bad game against the Edmonton Oilers. They played a good game against the Edmonton Oilers. They played a game good enough to go to overtime, good enough to get 2 points. It's just one of those things where if we're breaking down on the calendar, man, that's one you'd love to get the 2 points because what the Oilers were skating in with. Or, as I said, what they didn't have in the lineup. But the Canes played a very good game against New Jersey. I thought it was a good game against the Edmonton Oilers. And then, like we said, their best game maybe of the year. Most complete game from, you know, one guy to the last guy on the roster for the effort they put forward on the mom's trip in Nashville that results in a 4-1 win. And, again, everybody shows up to the party. And, you know, I'm just going to review this. Nino Niederreiter, 2 goals, last 3 games. If he can get hot down the stretch, that adds so much balance to what the Carolina Hurricanes want to do.
Yep.
And they become so dangerous because we know how good the Aho, Svechnikov, and Teravainen line is. Now you've got Nino popping in goals.
That's the thing. If you have, you obviously know what you have in that top line. Then if you have that Hala, Nechas, Niederreiter line going, you know, that's another line that can make a difference. And you saw it make a difference early in the season, you know, when Ryan Dezingle was a part of it. But now if you can get that trio going, if you can get, you know, even Jordan Staal, who found the score sheet first in Nashville on Tuesday night, Justin Williams, 2 primary assists. If you can get that trio going and get them to, you know, start contributing some on a regular basis. And Jordan Staal himself said last night, you know, he said he knows he's been fighting it. And he knows he has to be a bigger part offensively if the Hurricanes are going to make a push. And he certainly showed it last night in what I thought was a really solid game from that line, really solid game. I don't think you can find a player on that roster who had a bad game last night.
No, that's one of those games where if you go down and you check the box for did he show up, everybody gets a check mark.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
I think it you know, any given point throughout the game, you can say, I noticed X player. You know, everyone at some point throughout the night was noticeable at some point. I thought Peter Mrazek was solid from the get-go. That breakaway save he made on Philip Forsberg in the first period to keep it a 1-0 game was huge. That showed, and that came not too long after Jordan Staal put the Hurricanes up 1-0. That really showed, I think, that he was dialed in. He was in on his game, and you knew that you were getting a real solid performance out of him. You know, of course, Andrei Svechnikov finds the back of the net. Of course, Sebastian Aho finds the back of the net. That seems like more the rule now
than the exception.
Yeah, exactly.
Points in 10 straight for Sebastian Aho, and points in 8 straight now for Andrei Svechnikov.
And that was the Svechnikov's goal, I think, was part of the turning point, because the Hurricanes give up that goal early in the second period.
Yes.
To Ryan Johansson. Weird play.
On the video portion of the podcast, the reason why Michael Smith just paused there is I pointed at him because I have a point to make about the turning point.
Yeah. Ooh, a point about the point?
Exactly.
Okay. We'll get to it in just a second after I finish describing it. The Hurricanes challenge for goaltender interference on that goal. The challenge fails. The Hurricanes have to kill a penalty. They do kill a penalty. They've killed 4, by the way. They were a perfect 4-for-4. That was a big part of the victory. And then they get a power play shortly after that, a slashing penalty on Nashville. And I think it just took about 5 seconds into that power play. The Hurricanes lose the initial draw, but Justin Williams chases down the puck behind the net. Andrei Svechnikov is open at the right circle, and then he does what he does and scores a goal.
You're 100% correct. It took 5 seconds on that power play to score. But for me, the turning point was after the Canes challenged the goaltender interference call, killing off that penalty.
Yes.
That was when the Canes killed that off and it stays 1-1. I'm like, all right, this is the Canes game.
Yeah. And then I think what helped seal it was the fact that they were then able to get a power play of their own and make it count right away.
Yeah. And that's what you have to do. So that was my turning point of the game.
The special team swing.
And the Canes were better in every phase of the game. 5-on-5, special teams, both power play and penalty kill and goaltending.
From the drop of the puck. The Predators never could get anything going. I hung out in the mom suite all game long just to kind of take in, you know, their experience that they had. And we actually had 2 suites, and the moms were spread out at first, but then they said, you know what, we should all gather in 1 suite. So they did. And then we had some room to ourselves, me and the PR department, and you were in there at one point talking to the moms during the second intermission. But there was a fan in front of the suite that I was in who just kept yelling, keep grinding, keep grinding, keep grinding at the Predators. And while it was a valiant effort to rally the Predators, it just wasn't going to happen. Nothing the Predators could do last night was going to overcome the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes were just the better team from start to finish.
Can I quote my Italian brother, Rocco Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators? They outplayed us from start to finish, and they deserve to win, plain and simple.
There you go.
That was his quote.
Wow, he said it better than we could.
Well, they get asked that a lot.
That's true.
So, but for me, that's the best game of the year that the Canes have played in totality. They've had some great games. They've had some great moments. I'm sure that if we go back, we can say, all right, that game was better. But I think time, place, everything that goes into it, what they did in Nashville, that was amazing. So it was the mom's trip, and I think it's a perfect place for us to say hello to a couple of the moms. Let's start with Brett Pesci's mom on the blue line, Miss Alyssa Pesci.
Joining us on CanesCast is Alyssa Pesci. Alyssa, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
That's one word for it. So let's just start off with the basics, with Brett getting to the NHL and, you know, the upbringing he had. You had a couple other boys who were good at hockey, too. How crazy was it in the Pesci household when these little guys were running around playing hockey?
Well, it was actually really crazy. My husband is a kid from the Bronx, and he loved hockey, big time diehard Ranger fan, sorry to say, not anymore. And he started dragging my older one to the rink, who's almost 28 years old, Bradley. You met Bradley, I think. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's taking Brett along with him, and Brett was on skates at 2, and then Adam was my third, and he was a goalie. And it's funny because they put Brett was in mini mites when he was like, I think 3 years old, and he was taking the puck away from everybody and skating the wrong way with it. And so they put him in the organized in-house league at 4 years old. And, you know, when they play hockey, it's a whole different world. It's like a good cult, if you will. And they all ended up on these travel teams, and we had 3 travel hockey plays. It was actually very crazy. And my husband worked 6 days a week. He's sometimes 7. He's in his own business. I was part-time then. I don't know how I did it. I always joke that I'm half Canadian. I've been to Canada so many times, but it was a little bit crazy. I mean, it's over now. My little one just graduated from college, so it's over, but it was a really crazy time, to be honest. Yeah.
How you've been on one of these trips before with the moms. How excited are you to get to know some new moms and see some familiar faces?
The moms are great. I've met all of them. It's kind of funny because last time it was the Devils, so I did not even fly back with the team. I went home, and guess what? We're going to the Predators. My son, Bradley, went to Vanderbilt, so I've been there too. But I haven't been to a Predators game. So, yeah, really exciting. The mothers are from all over. You get to meet all of their cultures. Very interesting people. And to find out how all these guys made it, you're finding that out. Really good group of women.
Is it also funny how all the stories seem to be similar? Doesn't matter if they're raised in Tarrytown or raised in Colorado or raised in Finland. Like, all the mom stories, all the dad stories, they all seem to be kind of similar how their kids got here.
Oh, yeah, they're similar. The only thing that's different is that it's a lot more money to play travel hockey in the States than it is in Canada. And you don't have to travel as far. Like, they cannot believe, the Canadians cannot believe how far I traveled and how many times I was in Canada, like right. Edmonton, Winnipeg, Quebec City. I was, and they're like, what? They don't get that part of it. Yeah. But there, other than that, there's a lot of similarities, except for the financial part.
So who was harder to keep calm during those years, your husband, Brian, or the boys?
Brian. Brian, he was very, very intense and involved with the kids. However, I will say he was very level. Like, the kids did not take extra lessons. They played 2 sports. Honestly, we didn't know this would happen, you know, with Brett. Like, we just kept going along and going with the flow. He played 2 sports. First, he played baseball, then lacrosse, and he always played hockey. We cut out the travel hockey when he was, like, 8, 9 years old, the spring hockey, when he was like 8, 9 years old, because we did that brick tournament. And after that, we're like, these people are crazy. We're done with this. So we just did the 2 sports. And so he was really intense watching games, but very level headed with the kids. Yeah. And the kids were good because they were structured. They were playing travel hockey. They were on a schedule. Yeah.
And we say this because we love both you and Brian Pesce, just so you know, but I wanted to put one on a tee for you there, Alyssa, if we could.
Go ahead.
I just put it there. I'm not going to bring up anything that I might have known about being ejected from buildings in the National Hockey.
That was not me.
I know.
Am I
that
supposed
was not
to bring
you.
That up right now?
No. I mean, if you want to, you can.
Well, listen, you have to understand the intensity of my son playing at Madison Square Garden for the first time when my husband was a diehard Ranger fan. And actually, it wasn't my husband's fault. It was Bradley. Bradley was getting into it with some of the fans, and Brian saw this going on, so he went up to the fans, and that was, we won't go further.
No, that's it. That's all we need to know.
Yeah, that's
that. But they did say you can come back into the building if you buy another ticket, and he did, but it was fake, so he couldn't get back into the building.
Oh, no. Yeah. So Brian tweeted yesterday that...
oh, please.
Yeah, well... that he hoped Brett's laundry would be... that he wouldn't have laundry waiting for you. Was Brett's laundry done when you got to his place?
Brett's girlfriend is there, so his laundry was done.
Perfect.
Yes. And I think, actually, I have to say, I'll give a plug to my kid. He's become very mature about that. And even when he was in college towards the end, he would come home and say, Mom, do you mind if he wouldn't come home with bags full. Yeah. But he'd like, can you just please wash this? So he's very, very mature about that, I have to say. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So you know all the spots in Nashville, right?
Not really. I mean, no. Bradley went there. I moved him in and out of school. I went there for his graduation, so I don't really know all the spots. I mean, I know the row with Vanderbilt and all the hotels over there. We're probably not staying there. I'm staying closer to town. When he graduated, there was a really good steak place right by where the Predators play. Yeah.
So are you excited to show some moms around? Because you then have a little bit of lay of the land more so than the other moms.
Probably the Finns need some help.
Yeah.
Like when we were in the city last time, like they were running, this Finns and the Swedes, they were like running in the middle of the street, like in New York. So they're like, no, don't do that.
Well, yeah. I think New Yorkers do that too, right?
You're not supposed to. Well, not really.
No, it's the tourists who do that in New York, yeah. Smitty, it's not more the New tourists.
No, we don't do that. We know better. Yeah.
Do you still get butterflies watching Brett play?
Probably in the playoffs. Mm. That was very, the playoffs were tough for me to watch. I have to admit that. It wasn't like watching regular games, and it was the first time. And yes, I do get butterflies at times. Yes.
Was it stressful watching playoffs?
It was stressful.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was tough watching the playoffs because there was just so much banging going on. And it was like, for a mother, it was a little bit scary, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Did he ever talk to you about what it was like?
Brett doesn't talk to me about hockey. He talks to his dad about hockey. I'm just his mom. We don't talk about hockey.
Gotcha.
We really don't. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you talk about then? Just life stuff?
Life stuff, helping him out with his... Before Amy was here, his girlfriend this year, like I helped him with everything when it came to his apartment and setting it up. And all of a sudden, I feel like he doesn't need me anymore. He doesn't call me, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll spend some time with him this weekend.
He's a great kid. He's very level. He's mature. I have to say he's a good kid. He's just a good kid.
Yeah. I have to ask. I know the answer, but for the people listening. Go. No. Where did he get his fashion sense from? Because of him, he took me shopping and it was...
It has to be me.
That's what I'm saying. I love to shop.
Clearly. I'm shopping all the time. So it has to be me. I can't say that's Brian. Although Brian looks pretty good these days. He has some really good taste too going on there.
Yeah, but that's all you though, right?
It's all me, but it's also what they're doing and who they're around, and they're all like that at this stage. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy the clothes he buys. That's for him. No, he could buy them himself. Yeah.
Is Brett Pesci a mama's boy?
I love the fact that you just are so comfortable referring to him by his last name.
You're going
to
fight in the middle of this?
There,
all right, here we go.
No. We would never fight.
Do you think he's a mama's boy?
He is in certain ways. But he really, I have to say, looks up to my husband. Like, he calls Brian after every game. They have a conversation. He doesn't do that with me. I'm his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Me, it's, you know, other stuff. I think they're all mama's boys, but I think they're all daddy's boys, too. There's, like, a good balance in my house, I have to admit. Yeah.
Alyssa, you are a delight. Thanks for taking some time out of this busy weekend.
Now I'm done. I don't have to do any other interviews.
Well, we'll see what happens on TV from here on out.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Alyssa Pesci, mm-hmm. She's wonderful.
She is.
Brett Pesci.
He's wonderful
as well.
Good
kid.
Yeah.
Brian Pesci.
Great human being.
I was going to say debatable.
Oh, no. Love that man.
Yeah, he's good. And Bradley, too.
Yeah. Why? Well,
good clan.
All of them. All of them are good.
The Pesci clan.
I don't think I've met Adam. He's the third brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I have.
Yeah. So, but Bradley Pesci's great. I don't know what it is about the Pescis when it comes to the trips, the mentor's trip, the mom's trip, but they always deliver. They deliver the goods. A+ all the way. Just putting that out there.
You know who else delivers the goods?
Yes, I do.
Denise Williams.
Absolutely. Joining us here on Canes Cast. I've said this many times, but I will say it again. The man on the Carolina Hurricanes with the coolest parents, Denise Williams, Craig Williams. That means we're talking to the mom of Justin Williams here. All the moms, though, are cool. This trip, we've gotten to talk to him. Denise, first off, thanks for joining us. And second, how fun is it to be here, be a part of this, and, you know, share stories with the other moms, and, you know, it seems like yesterday, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's fantastic to see all the mothers from 2 years ago. It was just like a little sweet reunion. Everybody was happy to see one another, and we're so excited to go to Nashville, especially, and just have fun with the mothers and enjoy our sons and just, you know, all to ourselves. So,
have you ever been to Nashville?
I've been once when Justin was with LA, and that was the only time I went, and that was fun as well. So
what number mom's trip is this for you?
This is number 2.
Okay.
Yes.
So both here with the Hurricanes then?
Both with the Hurricanes, yes. Yep.
That's great.
Two out of all the 20 years Justin's been playing. His father went on probably 12 of them. So, this is very nice, and this is probably my last, so I'm going to relish it. I'm just going to enjoy the moment, stay in the moment, and so.
We can't say it's the
last. We don't want to say that, but I'm thinking it probably will be.
All right. Let's get this out of the way about Justin, though. When he kind of, you know, he never closed the door on the career, but when he decided he was going to take some time away, you've raised him. You know what it was like. He said he wasn't bored. Were you surprised, or was this something where you're like, no, this is what he'll do, and when the time's right, he'll make the right decision?
Well, we were kind of mixed both. I think we were surprised that he was going to, you know, take a little bit of time off, because I don't know, that's kind of hard to do, number one. And just, it kind of surprised us, I would say, more than it's time, because we're still in the mode that he's going to play forever kind of thing, you know, as a mother and father of hockey, you know. But, I guess I'm glad he's back, because we're giving each other high fives and, yay, we can watch hockey again, you know. Yeah. So, yeah,
it's been good. Did he ever talk to you about his decision to take some time off, or when he was thinking about making a return, did he ever talk to you guys just about that decision and that process?
Just little hints and here and there, little hints, and you just knew, you know, eventually it's gonna happen, right? So, but after all these years of him playing, it was just like obviously gonna happen someday.
You got to see him win a Stanley Cup here in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, score the empty net goal that sealed it.
I know. I was telling the other moms, they were asking me about it. So, and I was just, that's the very same story I was telling them, how high he jumped when he scored that empty net goal, and Eric Staal was...
Mobbed him.
Yeah, he just mobbed him, and we're just like, the game wasn't finished yet, but it was like, okay, we're going to do this. And the stands, we had strangers hugging one another and standing the whole game was just... I just remember that just like it was yesterday.
An incredible atmosphere.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, we went game six to Edmonton. It was very it was very quiet plane ride on the way back.
Well, yeah.
Yes, but it was a long day.
Did you ever think, you know, in Cobourg, Ontario, you're raising Justin and his sister, you're going to be in a moment like that? And then is it surreal? I mean, does it still feel?
It's so surreal, Mike. It's so surreal. It's just, you got to pinch yourself, because you just... trying to like, wow, is this really happening? You know, so.
To see, having experienced that here in 06, to see playoffs return to Raleigh and Justin be such a big part of that last year, how rewarding and how much fun was that?
Oh, very rewarding. So proud of him. Yeah. And, because I know that's what his intention was, and that's what he's all about, is that focus to get back and just be, you know, in the mode too.
Has he always been clutch? Like, you know, if the game's on the line, baseball, basketball, whatever, he was always the kid, the guy coming through?
Yeah, it's funny in different ways, because like he was clutch during the playoffs and now he seems to be with the shootouts, which he never really was that great in the beginning. And now he's like Mr. Shootout that I'm hearing. Well, you know, I mean, so
he's Mr. Game Seven, you know, Mr. Cool, Mr. Clutch, Mr. Shootout. Is there any other? I know that Mr. is big up in Canada. Is there anything else that he can be?
Well, I don't know. I guess the possibilities are endless.
Mr. Four-time Stanley Cup winner.
Oh, that would be nice.
That'd be great.
That would be very nice. Yeah. Yes.
What the moms, some new mom faces this time around from compared to 2 years ago. Have you had a chance to get to know some of them? And
yes, we made a point of everybody introducing one another. And, Shvetchnikov's mom.
Yeah.
She speaks English as well. Like, I mean, it's better than my Russian, that's for sure. Yeah, so we're trying to learn little Finnish words as well, and learned how to say thank you in Finnish already. And Kitos. We're just learning all those. Yeah, Kitos.
Yeah.
And then washroom Vesta. There you go.
What's that?
The washroom.
Oh, the washroom. Okay, perfect. And Moi is hello, and Moi is goodbye.
Yeah, so, you know, kudos to them for their English, because it's way better than my Russian or Finnish. Oh,
absolutely.
But is it amazing to you that the stories, and I think I've asked you this before, Denise, but the stories are the same? Like, really, it doesn't matter where they grew up, they are the same?
I know. Like, we were talking about that as well, too. Like, just growing up, like, how busy were you? Like, I had one boy. Stalls had four. Like, that's four times as many, you know, how busyness that they would be. So I can only imagine. So we're all the same hockey parents.
What you do. Yeah. What is the most rewarding part about this whole experience, this whole mom's trip, being able to spend some time with your son, you know, he's doing the thing he loves, and you getting to sort of live that experience with him.
Well, that is the reward, spending time with your son.
Right.
Number one. That's the number one thing.
Yeah, because it's just special because, you know, in the outside world, you got people here and there, Adam, you know, so this is a way you can just get in the car, ride with him and talk about life, you know, just like a normal mother, son, or anybody, parent. So that's a reward, you know.
We always put the role, you know, the dad has this role and the mom has this role, but that doesn't, was that the case? It seems that you and Craig both really put that balance there for
I think so. We try, like, I always, people say, how do you sacrifice this? And to me, it wasn't a sacrifice. It's what you do for your kids, I think. And we both try to, you know, take them to practice and, you know, and go together and try to be together as a family all the time, that, as much as we could. So.
And I don't want to say... I don't want to say, and sorry to cut you off, that your hockey watching experience will be over when Justin retires 10 to 15 years from now, because you've got Jackson and Jade, who I think if they are anything like their dad, you might be watching a lot more hockey in your
future. That's what we're hoping. Yes, as a matter of fact, today I was on Periscope. You know what Periscope, you can watch your grandson play. So as Justin is out there on the ice, Jackson had a game at 11, and he's up in Buffalo with his mom right now.
God's country.
And, your country. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, I was kind of watching, trying to pay attention to his hockey game as well, because he was in the final today. So,
imagine that, a Williams in the final of a championship. That's...
shocking. Yeah.
Breaking news here on Kane's Cast, Mr. Smith.
So, yeah, we're pretty excited that they're in hockey and carrying on. So,
Denise, thank you so much. And by the way, all the parents here with this team are the coolest, because you guys give so much of your time and you raise some great young men. We know that. And you know that. I've said enough platitudes about Justin, but there's really, we could write a whole book about how great he is. And we're thankful. Thank you for letting him come back.
Thank you both. You've made it very easy for me. So you always put me at ease. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
And the Hurricanes organization for having us. So.
Quitos.
Quitos.
Quitos. Muy muy.
Thank you.
That was good that Denise Williams was able to experience another mom's trip.
Yes.
And then in the NHL with her son. She's a very nice lady.
First off, all of the moms were wonderful.
Oh,
I joke a little bit about the coolest parents, but in all seriousness, Michael Smith, is there anybody cooler on planet Earth than Justin Williams? Well, the answer has to be his parents, because that's how he becomes that cool.
I did a special mom's edition of Tweet Mail this week, and one of the questions was, which mom brought the party to Nashville? And of the, I think I talked to 8 or 10 moms, and the overwhelming response was Denise Williams. She brought the party. So, well done, Denise.
Well done.
Thank you.
MVP performance.
MVP.
The Premier Etoile, first star.
And her son played very well. Two primary helpers.
He was great in that game. But, again, let's do another picture, you know, from 30,000 feet. That's how the Canes have to play, Michael. Everybody's got to be a part of it. And the mom's trip was amazing. These ladies, I get a big understanding on why the Carolina Hurricanes players are the way they are, because when we get to meet their parents, we get to meet their family, you get that insight into them. They have great parents. The moms, Allison Van Riemsdyk is amazing. Just great, great people. Jill Gardner, sneaky MVP for interviews for what I do.
Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable intermission interview. Like, knew the camera, knew where to talk, was excited about everything.
Veteran.
They were all just classy people, and we were lucky to be a part of that weekend.
We're petitioning to keep them around forever.
Yeah, I think that we should have more mom strips.
More mom strips.
You disagree?
Nope.
Thank you. Oh.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Storm Brew, it's the official Canes beer. It's a crisp, light lager made by our friends at R&D Brewing in Raleigh, North Carolina. And we have a fun event to tell you about that's coming up. Next Wednesday, February 26th, so a week from now, if you're listening to this on Wednesday when we're recording it.
Just on February 26th.
February 26th, Wednesday, at the Carolina Ale House on Glenwood in downtown Raleigh, there's going to be a Marty party.
Oh, my goodness.
Jordan Martinook will be there from 6 to 8 p.m. to meet and greet fans.
Hi.
So you can stop by, swing by, have some Storm Brews, and meet Jordan Martinook. If you haven't already.
What kind of party?
Genres.
A genre of party.
Of Marty. A Marty party. Exactly.
There will be Storm Brews from our friends at R&D Brewing.
Yes.
There will be Jordan Martinook.
There'll be crispiness.
It's guaranteed to get crispy.
Crispy.
So swing by Carolina Ale House in downtown Raleigh and enjoy yourself a Marty party on Wednesday, February 26th.
There ain't no party like a Marty party, because a Marty party don't stop.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I keep saying it. And you know what I do find myself doing when I now say,
thank you.
I say it exactly like that.
Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
And I have brought that up to Brock McGinn, and he goes, it's the only way to say it.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
You know, I'm trying to think if his mom said it like that.
No.
No?
No.
It's just Brock.
Just Brock. Corey does not say it like that.
I wonder if any of his brothers, I wonder if Jamie McGinn says it like that.
Maybe.
We'll have to trap him into saying it for us.
Try to find Jamie and Ty. Bob does not say it like that. The dad, Bob McGinn, who, another wonderful human being,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't say it like that. He is enthusiastic for his thanks. He's like, thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
I feel better. Thank you. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Let's not leave
that's
Justin
a good
Williams
one too.
Out
yeah.
Oh, it's closed out every episode of Kane's Cast since the dawn of time, it feels like.
You know what we haven't talked about yet?
This
little thing that's going to happen.
Food.
Well, we briefly touched on movies.
You want to talk about what? Something outside of the building?
I think so.
Oh, let's do it.
Big news.
Huge news.
I'm sure you've already heard. If you're listening to this podcast, you've already heard. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to host the 2021 Stadium Series game at Carter-Finley Stadium, NC State's football stadium that's only a few hundred yards from the south entrance of the arena. Couldn't be a better setup than playing an outdoor game steps from your home rink. There's going to be tailgating.
Yes.
There's going to be hopefully beautiful weather. That's really the most important part is the weather.
Yep. Well, it just has to be dry.
Just has to be dry. That's it. It can be warm because that's not a problem.
Nope. They've played games in Southern California.
It can be cold. You just got to bundle up.
Yeah, that's really not a problem.
But you just don't want any rain.
No rain.
And honestly, the snow around here tends to be more icy and wet. So you probably
don't want that
either.
Nope.
Just lean towards a wonderfully overcast day.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even matter because it's going to be a night game. Gary Bettman said it's going to be played at night.
That's true. So it doesn't.
So you don't even need to worry about sun glare. Which
that
becomes one of the problems. That you
so
have
sure, bring the sun out. Have a great tailgate. Oh, it's going to be a blast.
I know.
So we've gotten a lot of questions about this, and understandably so. Tickets, if you're interested, there's a ticket form on hurricanes.com/stadium series. You'll be the first to find out if you fill out that form, just how you can secure your tickets to this game. The Hurricanes are going to try to make sure there are as many tickets available as possible for fans to get their hands on. Who's the opponent? That's the big question.
Well, I asked Don Waddell this question. The Canes don't necessarily have a full say in who the opponent is.
Right.
But Don Waddell told me that they gave a list of teams to the league who they'd like to see play at Carter-Finley for certain reasons.
So this will be a fun exercise. Let's throw some suggestions out and say why we would prefer them.
Well, the Washington Capitals.
I agree.
Reason being, regionality. I think there's a rivalry there. I don't care what Cap's social media says. There's a rivalry there. Watch these games, how they play.
Yeah, their coach, the players. It's like,
they've said so. It's a rivalry. It is what it is. I know that we want this place to be packed with Hurricanes fans, but it's an easy drive for Caps fans.
Mm-hmm.
You want to ensure a sellout, it would be sold out.
Well,
plus, you have, and I know people are so afraid of, oh, it takes the focus off of. No, it doesn't. If Alex Ovechkin's here, things like that. You want names. You want a little bit of star power.
The Predators had 20,000 fans in Dallas.
Yes.
So,
but that was a 90,000-seat stadium.
Correct. But yeah, proportionally.
Yeah.
You know, if they're proportionately that many Caps fans, still fine.
Yeah.
It's just going to it's going to make the Hurricanes fans louder.
Carter Finley's about 57,000.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be... I don't think that will be the capacity. It might be closer to 50.
Yeah.
But
well, whatever the capacity is, mm-hmm. if it's 10,000 to 40,000, that's fine.
Yeah.
So we'll put the Caps on the list. And despite the Caps saying they don't want to play in this, because evidently that got leaked out that they don't want to play in the game, fine. But that would be my number one choice. My second choice is the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I think Tampa might be my number one choice.
Really?
Yep. I like the idea of having another team that hasn't played in an outdoor game. Yep. So similar to what you saw in the Winter Classic this year, Dallas had not played in one. Nashville had not played in one. It's kind of a unique experience, yep, for both teams to be able to play in their first. Tampa's got a great team. It would be a wonderful game. I'd almost even like to see a red versus blue uniform matchup there. Oh,
that would be outstanding. The alternate jerseys that you could create if you do the the color rush, whatever you want to call it, would be amazing.
Yeah. Seeing Steven Stamkos play outside would be cool. I think that might be my number one choice, despite, I mean, obviously the rivalry with the Capitals, the regionality, the star power, makes a compelling argument, but I kind of like the idea of just having a new team in the mix.
It's Tampa. I wrestled with who would be my number one, number two for this. And I'll be honest with you, the NHL needs to do a better job of promoting everybody. So putting Tampa on that spotlight, I think, would be great, because we've seen the Caps playing outdoor games before. I just go with the Caps because I think of the rivalry that's there and what can go with it. But Tampa, they have star power. Not only do they have star power, it's an old Southeast Division rivalry.
Yeah.
So there are ties there. You know, you can harken back to that. So many little things about it. I like the Tampa choice. I hope that it would be Tampa, but if it's not, then we move on to choice number three. My third choice won't happen because they just played in the Winter Classic, and that's Nashville.
Nashville, yeah.
Just because of the border war, you've got Tennessee with North Carolina.
Well, I just think
it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and I think there's some similarity in the fan bases. I really do think if Nashville was in the Eastern Conference, Metro Division or otherwise, I really do think there'd be some sort of a bigger rivalry there between these two teams. Now, if you look at the season series, historically, the Hurricanes have pretty much dominated it in recent years. But two really good skilled teams, two fan bases that I think are similar, it would be a fun rivalry. But I do think, since they just played in the Winter Classic, probably not the right choice. I think if they were to play in an outdoor game next, they're probably going to host it.
Yeah, and if they had not played in the Winter Classic, I think that they would be my number one choice. But they just played in that game.
Yeah.
We know their fans travel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm with you. It would be great, but I don't think that they want to do Eastern Conference versus Western Conference either, because, you know, you only have the two games you play against your other conference.
So then one of my dark horse suggestions was going to be the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, that's fine. These are your choices. I mean, you and I both picked Nashville. They're in the West. I'm just giving you the reason why I don't think we'd see that.
Yeah. I think it would be cool to have the Oilers here. One, you've got the star power.
Oh, yeah.
In Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. But you could also stage an alumni game and rematch the 06 final.
Yes, you could. That's pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be outstanding.
But I don't think, I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but kind of a dark horse, sort of off-the-wall suggestion. And if you went in that direction, you could also make an argument for Detroit. Same kind of thing, alumni game, rematch the 0-2 final.
Yeah, but you're also going to want to put in... Detroit's going through a tough time right now.
They are.
And they're going to be in rebuild mode again just next year,
don't
too.
Ask the Montreal Canadiens about it, though.
Yeah, no, we're not going to. Keep that quiet. This is the Canes cast, after all.
Yes.
My fourth choice is I'm keeping it in the division, but another team that hasn't played an outdoor game, Columbus.
Yeah, I like that choice. I like that choice. Because market-wise, I find the two to be very similar. The games always seem to be pretty entertaining between these two teams. And again, it would be cool to see another team that hasn't played in an outdoor game. Two young, skilled teams. And you get, I think if you were to, so the NHL, I thought this year did a really, really good job of theming the two outdoor games. So you had the State Fair theme for the Winter Classic in Dallas, and you had the, obviously, the
United States Air Force Academy.
The Air Force sort of aeronautical, is that a word?
Yes.
Theme to the Stadium Series game. If you were to think of a theme that might apply for this game, perhaps they go the collegiate route. And so then Columbus makes a lot of sense.
So I like that. I mean, you're giving another team exposure on a huge platform. I would love it. Again, I think the markets are kind of similar when it comes to their teams. And if both teams make the playoffs again this year, you've got two teams that have been in the playoffs two consecutive years. I think that these are two teams that are going to be, when the changing of the guard happens in the Metro Division, these are two of the teams that are going to be the closest to ascending to the top of it. And they might have a real good rivalry budding from there.
Yep.
So there's one more team if we're going to go five. And I'll say the team that nobody seems to want right now if you're a Canes fan.
Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you in that I would be interested in seeing them. I know, like the Caps, they've played in their outdoor games.
Oh, they've played in a bunch, I know.
And they're going to travel well, and their fans would stick out against the Hurricanes red. That's the one thing about the Caps is you just have a lot of red in the crowd.
By the way, aeronautical is a word. Oh. At least aeronautics is.
Yes. So
we give you credit.
So that you know, the black and gold would stick out a bit, but it would be pretty cool, I think, to see Pittsburgh. Again, you have that star power.
And you have Jim Rutherford, the general manager, who is the general manager here for the Carolina Hurricanes when they won the Stanley Cup, helped grow this market into what it could be and into what it is. I just think that there's a lot of ties in there. And if NBC's, are they going to put a spotlight on Sidney Crosby? Well, of course they are, but they're also going to put a spotlight on Andrei Svechnikov and Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen. And if you're at the game, because I'm going to think the majority of hockey fans are going to be at the game, who cares what NBC does on TV?
Yeah. And the spotlight's going to be on
Raleigh. Oh, absolutely.
The state of North Carolina.
Did people,
the region.
If you watch the Air Force, the game at the Air Force Academy between the Avalanche and the Kings, they put the spotlight on the United States Air Force Academy. That's what they do. Like the area that is putting on the show becomes as big a part of the broadcast as the game itself. So Raleigh gets put in a great light.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I can't wait. We are coming up on basically 365 days until this happens.
Yeah.
At the recording of this Canes cast on February 19th, if we did this on February 20th, it would be a year to the day.
Yep.
So I'm excited. I think it'll be great.
It's going to be great. Raleigh, in the two NHL events that Raleigh has hosted, the draft in 04 and the All-Star Game in 11, two of the most highly regarded events that the NHL has had.
If I can quote a poet of our times, Bruno Mars, we're going to show up. We're going to show out.
Pop, pop.
It's showtime.
It is showtime.
It is.
We didn't put out a call for questions.
Nope.
Just got a couple real quick that we can run through. Using the hashtag CanesCast, Mark Height just started listening to CanesCast this season and really, really enjoying it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Oh,
thank you.
There we go. Here's a like a keep it for you. The final playoff position in the Eastern Conference will be decided by a tiebreaker. I could see that happening.
Right now, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I can see that there'll be two teams with 98, 99 points, and it comes down to a tiebreaker. I can see that.
Yeah, and the tiebreaker, too.
Head-to-head?
Well, the first one is number of games won.
In regulation.
It used to be regulation overtime.
Nope, just regulation.
Just regulation.
Canes have an advantage on that over a lot of teams.
They've got 24 of their 34 wins have come in regulation.
Yeah.
And that is more than the Islanders, who have 22, Columbus, who has 23. Teams right around them they've got the edge there.
So, yeah, I can see that. That's a great question. Good luck and keep it.
Here's one from Ethan King just 1 minute ago. Heading to Philly for the game on March 5th, where should I eat?
Reading Terminal.
Yeah, there's a lot at Reading Terminal. We like Danick's. They have the roast pork and a bunch of other yummy sandwiches. So good.
Just that's a sandwich shop. Is he looking for, like, when people ask, you know, where should we eat? That always turns into a couple of, like, do you want to go, not high end, but what are you looking for? I will recommend, it's tough to get into because there's not a lot of seating, but you and I have enjoyed it. It's called Whiskey King in Philly. It is a really good spot. If you want to get in there, it's Jose Garces. Oh, sorry, Bill Berniston. We're talking food right now. You can hit it for him if you want.
Well, yeah, in a minute. Yeah.
In a minute.
Yeah.
So former Iron Chef, and they've got the Whiskey King burger that you can get there. That's a good place. Any of Mark Vetri's places, the pizza place that we went there, Vetri Pizza is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you can go there.
There's a picture you took with John Herring,
yes,
who showed up at Wegmans looking for the, looking to take a Storm Brew selfie, but they didn't have the cutout there. But he did pick up some Storm Brew, and
yes, he did.
He got to say hello to you. And
there was no Jordan Martinook selfie there, so he had to settle for me.
I got a question here from Dan Berniston.
This is Bill Berniston coming to you live from the Canes locker room.
EA Sports included Storm Surge celebrations in NHL 20. What are the chances that Andrei Svechnikov will make an appearance on the cover in the near future thanks to his lacrosse goal that has inspired the youth?
I think there's a real good chance.
I do too. I kind of like that idea.
Right now, my guess is if you're in the EA offices, him or Sebastian Aho are being talked about being on the cover of NHL 21.
And I wonder, could you implement the Svetch in the game? Like, is there a way to do that? I haven't played the game. Is it in the game? I don't know.
It's been a while since I've played.
It's been a while since me and EA have ward.
I know, you ward. I tried to mend fences there. I thought I did. But, you know, they add things. You know, like certain players have specific moves. I mean, if you can put it in certain video games, like, you know, that's Michael Smith's finishing move. You know, Svetch gets it behind the net, bang.
I really like that idea. And have him on the cover doing that Svetch move. Yeah. It's a good question, Dan.
Well done, Dan.
All right. That's it.
All right. I'm fine with that.
Yep. We got to get out of here.
Are we good next Monday?
Well, next Monday is the trade deadline.
So let's go Tuesday.
We could shoot for afternoon, maybe, perhaps. So bear with us here.
Late edition.
these last few weeks have been a little wild, but we will effort to bring you a new Canes cast on the afternoon of the trade deadline.
So the 24th.
Perhaps after the deadline has expired, so we can talk about all that has happened or hasn't happened. We'll aim for Monday. If not, we'll let you know on Twitter.
All right. So small prediction time right now.
Okay.
Do we expect a busy trade deadline day or a quiet one?
For?
Let's just do the whole league. And then if you want to, we'll start to narrow cast it as we go down the whole league and then the Canes.
I mean, it seems that the league kind of got busy on Tuesday.
Yep.
Losing track of my days. It seemed like the league got busy on Tuesday. A lot of defensemen moved around. I mean, I guess there'll be some trades made, but I don't know if it'll be. I feel like it's always hyped up year after year, but then it never quite reaches that point.
I think there'll be a lot of little trades.
Yeah.
But I also don't think there will be a blockbuster. I don't think we're going to see like huge players' names moving. Will the Canes be active? They're always trying to improve this team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing. So again, if the right deal is there for the Carolina Hurricanes, they're going to make it. We can talk about what they want. A lot of the names they've been linked to on the rumors sections have already been moved. So I'm not sure where they go from here, what else they're targeting. But you know, a few years ago, let's go back to last year. Nobody knew that they were in on Nino Niederreiter in Minnesota and a deal happened. So they do that. Speaking of trades, though, the Canes did make I won't call it a minor trade because I think that Julian Gauthier was a player that we were waiting for to, you know, really make a splash here with the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, just it started to become a numbers game for him. He gets dealt to the New York Rangers for a right-handed defenseman, Joey Keane, who's got term left on his contract. He's only 20 years old. This, to me, is one of these things. I know if you watch the Charlotte Checkers play hockey, Julian Gauthier has been dominant in the AHL this year, but he just wasn't able to show that dominance or that kind of ability enough. I don't want to say at all. I need to say enough at the NHL level. I thought he had a great training camp, but if you take a look pucks didn't go in the net. And a lot of times that is the number one judge when you're looking at a player. Can we get him up here? Do we need to get him up here? I hope for Julian Gauthier, because he is a really outstanding young man, I hope that this is one of these things where a change of scenery really does him good, and he turns into the player that the Canes thought he would be for the New York Rangers. Folks, when guys like that get traded, don't ever get upset if they go on to become a good player. Be happy for them because they get the chance to do it. And I think there's a chance that Joey Keane can be a player on the blue line. A lot of people like him. They feel his potential is really good, and the Canes have a young right-handed defenseman who they can add into the arsenal again for, you know, stockpiling the blue line.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. He was an all-star as a rookie defenseman in the AHL this year. It seems like the Rangers kind of liked where his progression was going. Yep. And the Hurricanes obviously seeing something there, willing to take a shot on him. Obviously having to part with Julian Gauthier to make it happen. But it got to a point where I think Gauthier, he got a few looks here this season, but just couldn't quite crack a spot and remain here. And that's not to say that it won't happen.
No.
It just didn't happen here.
No. And the other thing, for a player like that, they need top 6 minutes, and it's hard for Julian Gauthier, and we've seen it before in the past, guys to come up and you're going to play third line minutes. You're going to play fourth line minutes. You know, you're going from playing 18 minutes a game, 19 minutes a game as a forward, to playing 9, 10. I mean, it's a big difference, you know, 11. Not that the role is that much different, but the opportunities become a little bit harder, and the competition, of course, is certainly harder to play against. So, again, I hope for his sake that this really works out for him, and you hope that Joey Keane is a defenseman who the Canes can count on for years to come.
I mean, at this point in time, it's a prospect trade because you're trading, a forward prospect for a defensive prospect, and it might work out for both teams. It might not work out for either team. There's still some to be decided as these players grow in their development.
Yep. So, you know, I'm not going to do that. It's a great trade if it works out for everybody. Well, no kidding. That's the definition of a great trade, when it works out for everybody. You hope that the change of scene for Gauthier works for him and the player who the Canes bring in, because I don't think you can ever have enough good young defensemen. It's like goaltending. Can't have enough good young defensemen in your system.
Yep.
So that's that.
I agree.
All right.
Especially right shot.
So let's do a post-trade line edition Canes cast next week.
Yeah, we will try to make that happen.
All right. So with that in the works, we'll see if we can make it happen. I say, for the Web's Michael Smith
and TV's Mike Maniscalco,
we'll talk to you next week.
Moi moi.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast.